T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The Morning Beat with Jay Rodriguez and Michaela Gordon.
Well, it is Woke Wednesdays here on The Morning Beat, and I am barely woke because of this chill in the air outside. It makes me want to cuddle up.
I know.
But I'm excited for winter, like fake winter, because we live in LA. But
winter's coming. No, this is the first time I agree with you that it feels like we're experiencing some sort of holidays, like some sort of weather change.
Weather.
Yeah.
like we'll remember today because it was different than the rest.
But of course, when I got into the car and it was cold, I was like, oh, I'm already sick of this.
Yeah. Why would I like that? Cold. Of course. I'm so excited Sam McGarry-Pate is going to come in and chat with us today for Woke Wednesdays because, as you know, the impeachment hearings have been going on and on and on. And if you tune in and tune out, many people have been. I was at the gym yesterday. I went with Cameron Burns, mm-hmm. our trainer, and I tuned in. Like, all the TVs had impeachment. Didn't matter what station it was. Yeah. There was no other option of anything to watch. Fascinating. It's really, really fascinating right now. And I'm excited he's coming in because I think we're midway through all the testimonies. So you can kind of get it's like reading a book. Like, you're kind of midway through the book and you're like, I think I know where this is going, but maybe we don't know where right. this is going. So I'm excited he'll come and chat with us. And it's the final day of Trans Awareness Week, but it is Trans Day of Remembrance. And so we'll have Ashley Marie Preston, who's a fantastic trans advocate for the community and activist. She is on fire right now, really being a vocal person for the community. And I want to chat with her just about what we should all know and be aware of for just trans, you know, awareness week, but also just like, how can we be better allies? I say that all the time, but I actually want to get active in 2020 as opposed to just constantly posting on my social about it. And so she'll come in and have a nice little chat with us. Plus, apparently the Grammys have made their nominations. Did you make the cut?
I did.
Okay, fantastic.
I am what category? Very nominated.
What category?
What category am I not nominating? That's the question.
I think you should get one for spoken word.
I did. they actually created it for me. Listen, here's his
That's a real
over.
One, by the way. You could get one for spoken word or reading your book. You can get nominated.
Could you?
Yes.
Could you imagine me at a spoken word?
Yes.
Would you snap? Is that where you snap for people? You can't clap. You have to snap for them.
I want you at like, what is that? Deaf comedy jams, but like the slam speech one. You know what I'm talking about? Slam poetry. That's what I want for you.
I will send you an invite next week to my slam poetry.
Yes.
What is slam poetry? Tell me what
that
sounds like.
So you write a book of poems. You get on stage with a microphone, much like you would with stand-up, and they put like a pin spot on you, and then, and then literally they zoom in on your very petrified face. One lash is off, but it doesn't matter. Everyone's there for the poetry. And then literally you hold this big, huge book. It's all your poetries, and you drop it and let it slam, and then slam poetry.
One fish, yeah. Two fish, red fish, blue fish.
Slam. Yeah. So it's, no, I don't know. But I know that a lot of friends have Grammys, Kathy Griffin included, for stand-up specials and stuff like that made it to, you know,
yeah,
audio.
That's yeah. amazing. Yeah. The one that's taking the lead, I'm very, not surprised. I'm very happy for
I'm
her.
I'm curious. I didn't peek at the list. You know, the Grammys are voted on by the Grammy organization, the people who've won them, right?
Yeah.
And they say that the Grammy voters are much like the Oscar voters. They're a little older. And so sometimes popular artists don't always make it as much as critically acclaimed artists. So I'm curious to see who made the list this year, the Grammys.
You're going to be surprised. We'll talk about it. I took a sneak peek and you'll be pleased.
I love it. All right. So let's get to that news on the beat. Tell people what's going on. Michaela, what are people talking about?
Well, it's going to be a very, very busy day, but we're in the thick of some of the most important and compelling impeachment hearings to date. Lieutenant Colonel Alexandra Vindman, the National Security Council's Ukraine expert, offered testimony yesterday about the pivotal July 25th call, saying he knew immediately that it was inappropriate.
I was concerned by the call. What I heard was inappropriate, and I reported my concerns to Mr. Eisenberg. It is improper for the President of the United States to demand a foreign government investigate a U.S. citizen and a political opponent.
He also said President Trump and his administration pushed false narratives about Ukraine, namely that the country helped Hillary Clinton in the 2016 election and did not adequately look into allegations regarding the Biden family. For his troubles, Vindman, an immigrant from the former USSR and a Purple Heart recipient, was blasted by the official White House Twitter account. U.S. Special Envoy to Ukraine Kurt Volker also took to the stand. Republicans were hoping Volker's testimony would support Trump's interpretation of events, but their ace in the hole ended up revising key points of his prior closed-door testimony, including when and how aid to Ukraine was mentioned in some conversations. Now, today, the House Intelligence Committee will hear from the U.S. ambassador to the EU, Gordon Sondland. There's a lot of pressure on Sondland. Some Democrats have accused him of lying in his closed-door testimony, and Republicans worry he may turn on Trump once he's forced to speak publicly, but we're going to go in-depth in the next hour with Samuel Garrett Pate. Now, if you're celebrating a birthday, happy, happy birthday. You're on the cusp, honey. You're on the cusp on November 20th, and you're celebrating with guitarist Michael Clifford from 5 Seconds of Summer. He is 24. Is it easier to stay? Is it easier to go? Joel McHale from The Soup and Community celebrates his 48th birthday. Mike D of the Beastie Boys is 53. And singer and guitarist of the Eagles, Joe Walsh, is 72 years old.
Welcome to the Hotel California.
Yeah. And I had just taken a tequila shot. I drank the worm and I went on stage and I sang this song. Don't even know how it went.
Good
I had
for
burgundy
you.
Lipstick on, no bra, and a worm in my stomach. Oh. And that's what I think about when I hear that song.
Yeah.
I'm a rebel. All right, coming up, the gay radio host who was likened to Jussie Smollett after evidence appears he may have tweeted slurs to himself is under fire yet again. You will not believe what for. Stick around with a new Channel Q.
So a gay radio host walks into a slam poetry show. No.
No, don't even do this. You don't know what this man does to me and what he puts me through. And he does it when I'm not expecting it.
So good. Well,
he will try to say something before I go on air, and then I can't say anything because I can't stop laughing.
It's mornings.
He just said something about politics and was like... Yeah. You know, like the Victoria's Secret
fashion show. Today will be highly viewed, the impeachment, which we're covering the next hour. It was on brand.
It was just so stupid.
So we're gay radio hosts, and I think for a while we thought we were just in a small handful. And then we heard of this guy named Seth Dunlap, who alleged, and we're very upset when we found this out that this happened.
Yeah.
He alleged that the radio station he worked for, on their account, that they called him the F word, you know, the derogatory word for a gay man. And we were very in our feelings. Until they did an investigation and it was uncovered that the text message, or rather the tweet, was sent from his own device. So then, you know, this was an investigation independently, a forensic investigation. They said, well, they found that the tweet was actually sent from the IP address connected to, you know, the 35-year-old Seth Dunlap's phone, the radio host. Well, then the police also launched an investigation and they found the same result, right? Now, poor Seth, just say you did it, buddy.
I swear, I feel like I'm watching Jussie Smollett all over again.
That's me too. And you remember, I was in the March in the Rain and I thought I was doing something good. Justice for Jussie,
yeah.
Justice for all.
No, and that was so good of you. But the thing is, I felt like I never believed Jussie.
Yeah.
There was a brief moment where I believed Seth Dunlap.
Is it because we work in radio and we're like, this could have happened. He said something bad about a conservative sports player. He hosts a sports show.
Yeah. Yeah, and
maybe they dragged him.
Absolutely. And Jussie Smollett just happened. Like, why would you be so stupid to do something that literally somebody's getting crucified for? But what really made it crazy was when he asked for, what was it, $2 million? $1 million to be compensated for being put through it?
Well, I mean, this is the craziest thing. So they examine like his actual work-issued laptop, where they discover that he had downloaded his own Twitter account's login on the work computer. When they examined the logs for that work computer, this firm that was hired to find more evidence, they found evidence that suggests that Dunlap himself had sent the tweet. The log showed up that he accessed his own Twitter account from the same IP address that was used to send the insulting tweet from the station's account. But between September 12th and the 17th of September, Dunlap himself, he conducted internet searches that appeared to be geared toward finding out more information about what Twitter stores on IP addresses. So he basically kind of knew.
No.
Yes. And then one search that did not explicitly involve that topic but caught the eye of the detectives was a search he put in, quote, finding out who hacked you on Twitter. So he's switching attorneys in light of all this damning.
His attorney left him.
Well,
his
attorney was
like,
I was trying to make it sound nicer,
surprise,
but yes.
Surprise, you're guilty.
Yeah, and then kind of outed him. Have you ever had a lawyer or gone through that situation? It's scary.
Listen, we all lie. I've lied before.
What have you lied about?
What I've never done. My weight. when you're younger, even not. When you lie and then you're like, oh no, I'm like really now deep in the thick of it. I don't know what to do. Like, do I just keep going? At no point did I say, yeah, let's just keep it going. Like, you have to come clean at some point. The fact that people like Jussie Smollett and Seth Dunlap, there's clear evidence saying, like, you did it. Just let it go.
Right.
Like, just let it go. And he's like, No, I didn't.
But I mean, the fact that your lawyer feels the evidence is too incriminating against you that they peace out and you have to get a new one. He's hired this really kind of white collar criminal lawyer who's a former federal prosecutor. So, I mean, he's not playing around with his representation. But I honestly think in light of this new evidence, I think, unfortunately, I do believe he'll be convicted. I think they'll go after him.
I think they're going to go after him, too, because they think that they have to start.
Because he was trying to get $1.8 million from the station for this tweet.
I don't think it's right that we're ever called any derogatory names or any slurs, but we're not getting $1 million for it.
Honestly, I'd be so rich.
Honestly, I would, too. Call me something right now. I need the money. Please insult me. Somebody call in and insult
Michaela Gordon, you are one big.
The Morning Beat with Jay Rodriguez and Michaela Gordon.
The Grammy nominations have just been released. The list is actually really interesting. I was really curious on how the heck you get a Grammy. Like, what's the process? Mm-hmm. Do you know about this whole business?
No.
Let me walk you through it. So basically, there's entries are submitted across 84 categories. That's how many categories there are. Crazy. There's a screening committee. They organize the entries into, like, where they go. Like, all right, Michaela released a dance album. So-and-so released a gospel album. There's, like, all these categories. Then members vote on the first round of ballots, right? So then you got, okay, that's out of the way. Then something called the craft committees, they determine the final nominations, and then you get to where we are today. And then where we are today, only the members vote on the final ballot after today, and those people win the Grammy. Fascinating.
Wow, yeah.
It's like a whole bunch of like different things. I thought I didn't realize it was so layered.
Well, you know what was exciting for me? I was very interested to see who was going to be nominated because I feel like this is the first time in a couple of years that I've been very excited about new artists.
Yeah.
I feel like we got a lot of love this year with Billie Eilish, with Lizzo.
She's had
Halsey.
A wild, both of them have had a wild, I mean, all three that you just mentioned have had a wild 2 years of their
absolutely.
Life just completely changed.
Yeah, and this is the first time I feel like they're going to be truly recognized for all the work that they've put in if they get nominated. So it's a big deal.
So, all right, so where should we begin? Album of the year?
Yes.
Okay. So, Bon Iver, is that a person? Did I say that correctly? I don't know what that is. Bon Iver, what kind of genre is that?
I don't know. I'm not familiar at all.
We're out of the loop on that. Then you can't win.
You can't.
Billy, who is it?
It's a folk band.
A folk band.
Okay. All right.
And they made the cut. Good for them. Vampire Weekend, Lizzo, Lil Nas, H.E.R., her, do we call it?
Oh, her. I love
yes.
her.
Yes. I like her. I know who they are. Billie Eilish, Ariana Grande, and Lana Del Rey.
So here's the thing. It's kind of a bummer for Lana Del Rey because I live for Lana. I think she's incredible. And I've been waiting for her new album. But I think going head to head with Billie Eilish and Lizzo, it's just not going to happen. Even Lil Nas, I wouldn't count
out. Album and record of the year. Difference is the producers get one and the other difference is the artist gets one?
Album and a record. So record is the one song. Like it's going to be Truth Hurts. It's going to be Bad Guy. It's going to be whatever single they put out.
I see.
So Lizzo is her. Truth Hurts is the song that Lizzo got nominated for, which is fun because I think that Jussie St. John could get credit for that as
100%.
Well.
100%. And Old Town Road, which was the mashup of Billy Ray Cyrus and Lil Nas X, is also on the record of the year nomination list, as well as Billie Eilish's Bad Guy. That's hard.
God,
See, this is
I don't
what I
know.
Mean. apples and oranges.
That's always been so tough with these awards because you said it. You just said it.
It's so
different. You're putting a gay out black man in the country world next to this beautiful black woman about body positivity and owning her rights, next to a 17-year-old who's completely against the sexual norm, wears baggy clothes and a cast on her foot for 3 months.
We see you, Billie Eilish.
Yes, that's hard.
It's interesting. How about this one? I think this is going to be Billie Eilish. Best new artist. I think Billie Eilish. But you feel maybe Lizzo? Or, I mean, some of these people I don't know. So Maggie Rogers, I've heard of.
God.
Black Pumas, Tank and the Bangas, Yola, Rosalia.
I think Lizzo's good. Here's what I think. I believe this will happen as well. We are in a time and a year where we are embracing diversity and we want different ethnicities representing,
all different kinds,
of things. Might go to Lizzo.
How about Song of the Year? I feel like we're kind of saying the same thing, but like Bad Guy and Truth Hurts would be my picks. And there's your boy, Jesse St. John, nominated for Truth Hurts.
Oh, God. You know, he made this thing. He told me we were in the studio a couple weeks ago. And he said, I wrote on my vision board that I wanted to win a Grammy. I wanted to write a number one song and I wanted to win a Grammy by my birthday. Wow. And his birthday was 2 weeks ago. So I feel like he's, even if he doesn't win the Grammy, to be nominated,
sure.
Give me a break. That's huge.
100%. You know, and the record of the year is for the artists recording it. And the song of the year is for the songwriters. So I hope Jesse gets it because what a wonderful thing to put out into the universe.
Yeah.
How about something we would actually know a lot about? The best pop solo performance.
Tell me, what are the nominees? Oh my God, I can't stand you.
It's number one, Beyonce.
No, it's not.
It says Spirit, Bad Guy, Seven Rings, Truth Hurts, Spirit, and You Need to Calm Down.
Oh, Seven Rings. I forgot. That's not going to win, though. No. You Need to Calm Down. That's not going to win either. I think Billie Eilish will win.
Billie Eilish or Truth Hurts.
It's going to be head-to-head Billie Eilish and Lizzo.
Can I ask you a question? Do you think Beyonce feels uncomfortable?
No, you know why? Because I think Beyonce knows she's lived a long career. She's probably like, let these 20-year-olds.
But like they have even 20. The bops, and there's Beyonce like straight out of Lion King, like Spirit.
I think if she wasn't the icon that she is, she might. But I feel like Beyonce's like, you can't touch me. Like, go ahead and win your little dumb award.
I like that. Best pop duo or performance. These are the Grammy nominations. Old Town Road will take it, I think. It's Boyfriend, Sucker, Senorita, and Old Town Road.
No, Old Town Road will take it. You're absolutely
Senorita,
right.
Senorita, Shawn Mendes, Camila Cabello, good for you,
listen,
not getting a Grammy.
They got love. They literally are in a relationship now, and that is their Grammy. Okay, it's going to Old Town Road.
Yes.
Got it?
Yeah. They're going to be singing Santa Baby to each other this holiday
season.
Shut
up. Let me tell you what you've done to me. I'm recording a Christmas song, and I posted a little bit on my Instagram story yesterday. I got three people that said, oh, is it Santa Baby?
That's so good. In case you don't know, that was Michaela's go-to song last holiday season when she had a couple concerts.
Okay.
Oh, Michaela
Just
Gordon.
The hits keep coming.
Keep bringing them.
And nominated for Best Christmas Record of the Year. Michaela Gordon.
Best radio host singing a cover. Honestly, you create your own category.
I swear to God, they're like, we can't even play your song because you literally have completely played favoritism to yourself.
Oh,
we didn't want to. Channel Q didn't want to play your record, but you forced them.
I mean, look, most of these are not the categories that people are interested in. You know, for this station, there's like best metal, best rock song. I don't know, best alternative. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. But the things that apply to us, I think, are the pop stuff.
Yeah.
And you know, I gotta say, I think it will be a big year for Billie Eilish because her fan base, like Lizzo, scans all ages.
Well, and here's the thing, and I don't know if this is just tea on the streets or what, but she turns 18 next year, and I heard through a reliable source that she's sick
of... also known as Instagram.
Also known as myself. She's apparently sick of the whole baggy clothes look with not a lot of makeup.
Uh-huh.
When she turns 18, she's looking to have a little bit more freedom and wants to sort of dive into more of a sexy look, kind of embracing her body and her sexuality. So we'll see. It's going to be a big year no matter what. She turns 18 and she may just change her entire look.
Yeah. I mean, I like the pajamas. Did you know that she has a clothing line?
With little kids that are jumping for her? Yeah, I saw it.
No, I mean, she had one prior, and this is the kids section of that clothing line.
Oh,
I clicked on it. It's exactly what you think it would be. It's like oversized pajamas.
I love that, and I love the little kids.
Will you wear it here at the show? Little Billie Eilish oversized pajama
on Michaela Gordon?
You know, I just I love ordering it now. Slutty. I want to be slutty.
The Morning Beat with Jay and Michaela.
The new Channel Q.
Well, I'll tell you, for those watching television or perhaps finding out you know, more about the impeachment, you're going to be pleasantly surprised if you are of the mindset that President Trump did have a pro quo with the Ukraine. But Sam McGrath-Pate, our political genius, is going to be joining us in less than an hour, top of the next hour, unpacking some of the bombshell testimony in which Sondland has seemingly tied Trump, Pence, and Pompeo to pressure the campaign. It is wild,
yeah.
And I cannot wait for Sam McGrath-Pate.
I'm going to tell you, I've not been so shocked as we've gone through this. I've said, I don't know. And after Gordon Sondland this morning,
yeah,
we're one step closer.
We're just going to gather all the facts. He's still giving his testimony. And so we'll have a lot more for you in real time and explain what it all could possibly mean for us and in a possible impeachment when we come back with Sam McGrath-Pate. But first, speaking of folks who lied to us, hey, remember how excited we were or how progressive we thought Chick-fil-A was being when, I think it was Monday, they seemed to have said, basically in a statement, that the chain, which has a long history of donations to lobbying groups that oppose LGBTQ rights, they seemed to signal on Monday that they would end donations to charities that discriminate.
I don't remember being excited. I remember being very skeptical, honey, and I remember passing a Chick-fil-A and flipping them off.
I can't remember. Had you been a fan of the brand before you knew? I wasn't anywhere near where I lived, so I didn't grow up with it.
By the time it was near where I lived, I already knew. I'd already known everything.
Uh-huh.
And one thing I'm not is a sneaky gay. Like, I never have gone through the drive-through.
That's a good song for your album.
Sneaky Gay. It's
sneaky
actually
gays.
My new EP, Santa Baby.
Yeah.
No, I've never gone through Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, I never have either.
And I had no desire to, because one thing they've never backed down from, which is why I was skeptical, was their religious views. I mean, they close on Sunday because they want to preserve like God's day, and they don't believe that LGBTQ is of the Bible, so they've donated money to charities.
Well, so then, because we the LGBTQ plus community stood together and sort of did this, as you know, international boycott, as Michaela brought in yesterday, they couldn't even open a place in the UK. They boycotted and they had to shut down. You know, we thought, and a lot of people were saying, wow, look what the power of protest does. Look, these people have realized the error of their ways and can be more inclusive. Well, after the backlash from anti-LGBTQ conservatives and also Republicans, the company seems to be quietly backtracking what they said. Now, in a statement to Vice, the Chick-fil-A president and COO, this guy named Tim Tassopoulos, I'm going to say, refused to confirm the company would not donate to groups that oppose LGBTQ rights. He said, no organization will be excluded from future consideration, faith-based or non-faith-based.
Yeah, so here's
because everyone came for him yesterday.
Well, Tim is making this decision because I think that, like I said, they're trying to become a global brand. They want to go national. And a lot of people don't agree with their beliefs on giving money to anti-LGBTQ charities.
Mm-hmm.
So when they came out yesterday, the backlash immediately started.
Immediately.
The LGBTQ people said, we don't believe you. We're skeptical. We're still not going.
Yep.
And then the conservatives said, how dare you? We've backed you for so long. And now you're going to go away from what you've said for years.
I think they called us the LGBTQ mob.
Well, that is what we are. And so they got upset. They felt like they were being bullied by us.
Right.
So they were mad. They had no backbone.
They were trying to cancel the conservative Chick-fil-A yesterday for
this. That's right. So now Tim is saying, well, you know, we're going to give wherever we want. So it's exactly what I thought from Monday. They're just weak, trying to make a little buck.
Well, big ups to Drew Anderson of GLAAD. He said, if Chick-fil-A is serious about their pledge to stop holding hands with diverse anti-LGBTQ activists, then further transparency is needed regarding their deep ties to organizations like Focus on the Family, which exists purely to harm LGBTQ people and their families. So Chick-fil-A investors, employees, and customers can greet today's announcement with cautious optimism, he's saying, but they should remember that, you know, similar press statements were previously proven to be empty. So don't get your hopes up. Stick with Popeyes for a while if this tends to bother you. Businesses that oppose LGBTQ rights. I'm going to go ahead and actually probably go to the drive-thru of Popeyes today.
Absolutely. All right, well, coming up,
I can't.
There has been some bombshell news thanks to Gordon Sondland.
Move this chair. I want to do a cartwheel.
I want you to do all the gymnastics. And I want you to wait for Sam McGarrett-Pate from Equality California to join us to tell us exactly what that means. Stick around. We are the new Channel Q.
Ooh!
Oh my God!
Someone's in trouble. I mean, listen.
Honey,
I'm
almost
here.
Forgot to come on the air. I'm dying watching a CNN live right now.
Here's what's gonna happen. Sam McGarrett-Pate. I mean, people are watching television. They're all freaking out about impeachment. But we have the gem of gems in the political world, Sam McGarrett-Pate, who is the communications director for Equality California, who's going to be joining us, explaining what this all really means. Because I am sure those who are in the know, their heads are exploding. Those who aren't are like tapping their friend next to the cubicle next to them. What? Why are you so excited? Don't worry. We got Sam McGarrett-Pate who's going to be joining us explaining why folks are jumping up and down right now on Sondland's testimony.
Well, and some may not be jumping up and
That's
down.
True.
I think that this is a shock for many that have supported Trump for a very long time.
100%.
Some may even be in denial. They may have a lot of arguments as to why they still don't agree. But the truth is, it's kind of written on the wall. Gordon Sondland has made major bombshells.
He's brought receipts. Here's what's interesting to me. Do you know how many of these guys are going to get endorsement deals from Pepto?
Oh, that's a good idea.
My stomach hurt so bad that day. I was sitting there. And then I tried Pepto-Bismol.
The agita was unreal. Yeah. And then Pepto.
You know what I'm saying? Like, how does it hit you, anxiety, when you know you're about to get in big, big trouble?
Give me Pepto.
You know what I'm saying?
My stomach turns inside out.
I start to, when it's real, real bad, like any kind of danger, almost like my ears, I'll hear a ringing kind of thing. Like the sound leaves the room. Like these people are on, first of all, it's not easy testifying in front of the world. Everyone's watching this all over the world.
But they're you're in trouble.
You're in trouble. Your name is brought in.
I bet you as the names are being announced, their butts are squeezed so tight.
And you said you didn't know anything, and they're like, I sent you that email.
Actually,
you
were in the room.
Oh, Michaela, this is going to be good.
I don't like confronting people, let alone these people who've got to be on.
Well, you said the quote of quotes. You were like, how is he even alive? Because people with this kind of information, I fear for their lives.
I want to see if Trump has hit Twitter yet.
Oh, boy. Well,
that's something to look at. Well, I'll do the news.
What would he say?
I don't know if you can say anything.
I don't think you should, but you know how he is.
But you know how he is. He hasn't said anything.
No, I think he's just packing his rolling luggage.
Do you think my career as Melania Trump is over?
I think you may have. What if she leaves him after all this?
We need Melania to do some money moves so that I can start impersonating
beep, boop,
her again.
Beep, 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 beep. Melania?
Hello?
Melania, will you give us some news on the beat? The
Ray!
The people desperately want to know what's happening.
Ray!
I can't talk because I'm installing new software right now. But in lieu of Michaela Gordon, Melania will have to do. Melania, Michaela, whoever you are, what are people talking about?
Oh, God. Well, definitely this, honey. We're going to have Samuel Garrett-Pate talk about the breaking news of Sondland tying Trump, Pence, and Pompeo to the Ukraine pressure campaign. So don't worry about that. We're going to hit that. But what's happening now is two prison guards are facing federal charges in connection with their actions the night Jeffrey Epstein died in prison 3 months ago. The guards allegedly failed to complete the required counts of prisoners on their watch, including Epstein. Instead, they napped and browsed the internet. When they realized they hadn't completed their duties, they allegedly falsified forms saying they did. A federal grand jury just charged them with conspiracy and filing false records. The indictment also serves another purpose as conspiracy theories still swirl around the convicted sex offender's death. It provides a detailed timeline leading to the discovery of Epstein's body. All right, well, today marks Transgender Day of Remembrance, a day honoring transgender victims of violence. Now, while 2019 was a year of greater acceptance, transgender rights made it into platforms of the Democratic presidential candidates. It's also a year in which at least 22 transgender or gender non-conforming people have died by violence. There's a mix of incredible opportunities and advancement and also increased regression and hostility, said Anike Mushevic. Now, on our website is a compilation of some of our favorite interviews that we've done, but also in the last hour, Ashley Marie Preston will be joining us. We are so excited to talk to her. She's an advocate and activist for our trans community. All right, if you're celebrating a birthday, happy, happy birthday. Trump is... No, I'm not even going to say anything. I'm just going to let go. Actress Sean Young is 59 years old today. Actually, I did a show with Sean Young.
You
59.
Did?
Yeah, I did Gone Country.
Nice.
Yeah. And actress Bo Derek is 63. Now, coming up, We've got the breaking news, and you don't want to miss it. Sam McGarrett-Pate is joining us to break down everything that Gordon Sondland is admitting. Stick around for the new Channel Q.
The Morning Beat with Jay Rodriguez and Michaela Gordon.
Was there a quid pro quo? As I testified previously, with regard to the requested White House call and the White House meeting, the answer is yes. Mr. Giuliani conveyed to Secretary Perry, Ambassador Volker, and others that President Trump wanted a public statement from President Zelensky committing to investigations of Burisma and the 2016 election. Mr. Giuliani expressed those requests directly to the Ukrainians, and Mr. Giuliani also expressed those requests directly to us. We all understood that these prerequisites for the White House call and the right White House meeting reflected President Trump's desires and requirements.
Ooh, that was Gordon Sondland's testimony earlier today. He's the ambassador to the European Union. And as you know, he is testifying right now, and he is leaving no stone unturned. I mean, he brought receipts, all of it. So to just better explain where we are at right now, we brought in Sam McGarrett-Pate from Equality California. He is their communications director and, of course, our political expert here on The Morning Beat. Welcome back, Samuel. Good morning.
Good morning.
So, Samuel,
for
those who may wonder, who the heck is this Gordon Sondland character? Can you give our listeners who may not be connected to politics so much who he is and why his testimony was really anticipated today?
Sure. So, Gordon Sondland, before he was ambassador to the European Union, was a major donor to members of the Republican Party, and specifically then candidate Donald Trump.
Okay.
After Donald Trump had some of the more salacious things come out during the campaign, after he criticized the Gold Star Father and then the, you know, grab him by the blank video, Gordon Sondland actually withdrew his support of Trump. And said that he couldn't support someone with this type of behavior. Then when Trump won, he came back and donated a very large in the seven figures range contribution to Trump's inauguration.
Wow.
Sort of buying back his way into good favor with the president, which ultimately led to his nomination as ambassador to the European Union. So we're talking about someone who has been a longtime financial friend of the president, but also a bit of a fair weather one, which perhaps explains why he walked into the U.S. House of Representatives today and made clear that he's not taking the fall for anyone.
Wow.
He was certainly at the center of this scenario in which the Trump administration was using military aid and a White House meeting to as leverage to get the president of Ukraine to announce an investigation into the Bidens and an investigation into a conspiracy theory about the 2016 election. He was at the center of it, but he's not going to be Trump's fall boy, as he made clear this morning when he repeatedly detailed how, yes, this was a quid pro quo in the clearest terms we've heard from any witness so far, and made very clear repeatedly, as you said, Jay, with receipts, that everyone was in the loop. I mean, those are his words. Everyone was in the loop. It was no secret. He went through memo after memo, email after email, between himself and members at the highest levels of the Trump administration.
Well, if you're just tuning
in, to show that they knew.
We are with Samuel Garrett-Pate. Now, we appreciate everything you're saying. We also want to take another listen to what you're saying. Here's Gordon Sondland.
Within my State Department emails, there is a July 19th email. This email was sent. This email was sent to Secretary Pompeo, Secretary Perry, Brian McCormick, who is Secretary Perry's chief of staff at the time, Ms. Kenna, who is the who is the executive secretariat for Secretary Pompeo, chief of staff Mulvaney, and Mr. Mulvaney's senior advisor, Rob Blair. A lot of senior officials.
A lot of senior officials saw this information. I mean, they were honestly probably pooing themselves.
I want to ask you, Samuel Garrett-Pate, we knew that Gordon Sondland was obviously going to come in. I was even still skeptical. I said, I don't think it could be anything so
that
crazy.
Bad, yeah.
How are we right now? Is it as damaging as we thought or more?
Well, yeah. It's kind of the answer to both. it is as damaging as we thought and far more. I don't know that anyone necessarily before his opening statement was released this morning expected that he would, make clear in such terms the fact that, yes, this was a quid pro quo. Yes, the president knew. Not only did he know, all of this was done at his express direction. Again, his Ambassador Sondland's words, at the express direction of the president. So when we talk about sort of the smoking gun that Democrats have been looking for, because all of this testimony to date has been damaging for the president. He has certainly not had a good day in any of these hearings. But what the Republicans have been able to use as their sort of throw everything at the wall and see what sticks defense so far is, oh, well, none of these people were actually involved. Uh-huh. This is all them hearing a conversation about a conversation about a conversation.
Right.
That's clearly not in the case. That's clearly not the case here. Ambassador Sondland is detailing how he was at the center of it all, but everyone else was in the loop, too. The other defenses they've used is, well, maybe people were freelancing, right, and doing these things, but the president didn't know. No one's been able to tie it back to the president, they've said.
Uh-huh.
Well, now you have someone sitting there under oath saying, not only did the president know, he's the one who directed us to do this. So, look, I mean, basically their only defense that they have left and that we are sure they will employ in this hearing is to try to undermine Ambassador Sondland's credibility in the same way that they did, you'll remember, in the past during the investigation into Russian interference in the 2016 election, when people close to the president came forward and testified and gave pretty damaging testimony. Their best bet was to try to impeach those witnesses by undermining their credibility. And the one weak spot that Ambassador Sondland comes into this with today is that in his original testimony, he did not give this level of detail. He did not say that there was quid pro quo or that it was done at the president's direction or anything like that in his original deposition.
Wow.
When the testimony of other witnesses was given and became public and he had an opportunity to read those people, the transcripts of those people's testimony, and realized that basically everything was going to come out one way or another, he went back and said, well, I've jogged my memory and I have more detail. The thing is, often when people, it would be one thing if he wasn't bringing receipts, right? But he has memos, he has documents to back up what he's saying now. So I think it's going to be really hard for them to paint what he's saying today as anything but the truth.
Well, so, stick around. We have so much more.
Oh
we're going to continue
dying.
This conversation. Breaking news, Gordon Sondland is putting the pressure on Trump, and Samuel Garrett-Pate is breaking it down. Stick around with the new Channel Q.
The Morning Beat with Jay Rodriguez and Michaela Gordon.
As I testified previously, Mr. Giuliani's requests were a quid pro quo for arranging a White House visit for President Zelensky. Mr. Giuliani demanded that Ukraine make the potential quid pro quo regarding the security aid with Senator Ron Johnson. And I also shared my concerns with the Ukrainians.
So that was obviously Sanlini's testifying right now, and everyone in the world is glued to their televisions because his testimony is damning to the Trump administration and many people associated with. We've got Sam McGarry-Pate from Equality California on the line with us. You do not want to go anywhere. Keep it locked here in the new Channel Q, because coming up at the end of this hour, we've got breaking news on Jussie Smollett. Jarrett Hill is on top of that case. He's from Drop the 70. He'll join us in just a little bit, so do not move. Let's go back to Sanlin for a moment. Jussie Smollett was going to be at the end of the hour, but I want to talk to you, Sam McGarry-Pate. How excited I am is how probably excited other people are in this country. However, like Michaela says,
yeah, here's my question. I love that there was a quid pro quo. I love that Gordon Sondland is saying much more damning information than he did in his first testimony. But I want to see where the Republicans are coming from, the Trump supporters. Is this enough for them to want to follow through? Is it, although very damaging, really going to be the one thing that seals Trump's fate?
I think that is what we will have to wait and see today. I think that, you know, there have been times like Michael Cohen's testimony, for instance, where we've heard things come out of a star witness's mouth that shocked us. And we sat there and thought, surely the Republicans will hear this, mm-hmm. these implications of the president, and abandon him, abandon the sinking ship. And it hasn't happened yet.
Well, you mentioned in the last break, part of that reason is because people sort of look at Ambassador Sondland as a fair weather Trump supporter. Is there anything that they could take from that that could make them feel like
he's... There's Senate people that are fair weather Trump supporters as well that are currently supporting.
Right. I'm less worried about that. I think the only sort of line of attack that the people closest to Trump will have is to try to undermine his credibility. Again, that is made harder by the fact that he has documents to back up everything that he's now saying. So I wouldn't look at the Devin Nunez's and Mark Meadows and Jim Jordans of the world, right? The president's biggest cheerleaders who have tied themselves so tightly to him that they're going down with that ship, whether it sinks or not.
Yeah.
But I would look at the Mitt Romneys, the Susan Collinses, the Lisa Murkowskis, you know, in the Senate, who have declined to stand with the president at times when he has had his worst instincts or when the most damaging information about him has come out. And I think there are a few members of this committee that we may see, you know, the earliest signals of the Trump coalition starting to crack.
Right. And what does that look
Will
like?
Will Hurd in particular on this committee is in a tight reelection race and cannot afford tie himself to a sinking ship.
That's what I think the American people are curious about, is they have so many people like that that have their supporters and their constituents back home to worry about. But now that the American people are watching this, I mean, do you think today's testimony is enough to sway the American people that will give pressure to their leaders? Or will the messaging, you know, from the Conservative Party be just to discredit him in this? I can't imagine this going away.
No, it's
not going to go away. But I think the two key questions are, do you start to see moderate Republicans break from the president?
Right. Yeah.
And how much does today's testimony impact public opinion? Right.
Yes.
You know that they're going to, you know that pollsters are going to go out in the field immediately after this.
Yeah.
What do you see from those first few polls in the next week in terms of public opinion? I think those are the two key ingredients that mm-hmm. we would have to see in order to have a significant shift among Republicans, right? You don't, we need, in order to have a chance in the Senate, there needs to, the final vote in the House needs to be overwhelmingly bipartisan.
Wow.
Well, if you guys are just we are with Samuel Garrett-Pate. Sam Garrett-Pate, there's so not enough time. We could continue talking about this, but we do appreciate you, and we'll continue keeping you updated. Now, there is more breaking news from our very own Jarrett Hill from Drop the Subject. He's calling in coming up because Jussie Smollett has some more breaking news. You will not believe what's going down in Chicago. Thank you so much, Samuel Garrett-Pate. As always,
we'll speak
to you next week. Stick around for more news. We're the new Channel Q.
The Morning Beat with Jay and Michaela.
The new Channel Q.
Since this case that has garnered a lot of attention has started, there have been 2,900 cases that have gone through the Cook County State's Attorney's Office, not the least of which have been 7 homicides, 5 criminal sexual assaults, 58 aggravated batteries to a police officer. This is the same Kim Fox.
There it is. That was Kim Fox speaking basically in defense of Jussie Smollett. Breaking news right now. We're joined on the line by Jarrett Hill from Drop the Subject. He's joining us for a very special What's Poppin'. Jarrett, what is going on with the new information about the Jussie Smollett drama?
Yeah, so really late last night, I got this document that the Jussie Smollett defense team filed a lawsuit against the city of Chicago, the police department, various people within the police department, including unnamed folks within the police department, and also the Elson Dyer brothers, who were implicated as being the attackers in what the CPD called a hoax. They filed this lawsuit late last night, and they are alleging that the CPD was withholding information that was corroborating information from witnesses that, that were a part of the police investigation. Mm-hmm. They also are asking for a jury trial to be able to prove Smollett's innocence.
Whoa.
This is so wild. Yeah. Now, what am I talking about? Jarrett, I want to ask you, when news very first broke about Jussie Smollett, what was your personal stance?
I've known Jussie kind of peripherally for a number of years, having been in similar social circles, and I was devastated when I heard this news. I was really upset about it, and I kind of spent the day like not wanting to talk about it, to be honest, after really talking with a lot of friends and feeling really hurt and scared by it, because this is something that, you know, is a big deal. And so it was a really difficult day.
Yeah, you know, I remember myself, I've known Jussie for a while as well, and I always remember him being a man of integrity, more integrity than I thought I even possessed. And, you know, when something like this happens, I immediately believed him. Then I was confused and thought I shouldn't believe him. You know, when this plays out, which clearly now he's wanting it to sort of rehash it all. I mean, what is your gut saying about whether this will move forward? And if and when it does, do you think Jussie has a case to possibly clear his name?
I think they certainly believe that they do. I don't pretend to know, you know, what happened and what didn't. But right. I can say that Jussie and his team are adamant that they are telling the truth, that their story is as they say it is, and that they also feel like they've been wronged by the Chicago Police Department.
I mean, Jussie will never work again in my mind, and so I think he has suffered damages because of all this.
Well, it's interesting too, though, because people really believe in him still. I, from the very beginning, I don't know Jussie Smollett, but I never believed him, not from the beginning. However, even just my dad and I were texting right now, and he said Chicago is corrupt, and he really wants Jussie Smollett to clear his name.
Yeah, actually, do you know about that?
He believes Jussie's right.
Yeah, and Jarrett, do you know about the Chicago PD? Because the LGBTQ plus community and people of color have a long time disputes with the Chicago Police Department, so that was another add-on for me. So that's what he's kind of claiming as well, that he was unfairly prosecuted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, the Chicago Police Department has a storied career with communities of color, LGBTQ folks, and corruption, right? So, and I said this before, back when it happened, I'm like, if it's whose word am I going to take, the Chicago PD, who has this history, or Jussie Smollett, who I kind of know and have a little bit of background with? I'm going to choose Jussie Smollett.
That's what I said. And then I felt like I had to take it back after everything went down.
Yeah, but a lot of people are still supporting him.
Yeah, I've not necessarily taken it back, but I do say it's like, it's difficult to know. I don't pretend to know what happened. It's hard to know what to believe. Mm-hmm. And even, you know, and have said that to him specifically, like, and said, like, I don't know what to believe anymore. I don't know, like, I mean, there are very detailed accounts of what police and investigators say happened, but Jussie also holds firm that he did not do what they said that he did, that there's, you know, evidence to support what he was saying.
Well, Jeremy, I want to ask you, you've personally spoken to Jussie Smollett after this whole situation happened?
Correct.
And he's still maintaining his innocence. How does he feel about
Absolutely.
People thinking that he's wrong?
I mean, I can't say how he feels about that so much as I can say that he's emphatic that you know, that they want to seek justice and be able to prove their case. I know that Jesse feels like people have not heard from him specifically so much as they've heard from, you know, other sources and like, according to so-and-so and reports say and blah, 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 blah. So this court filing is the first time that we'll really be able to hear like explicitly clear implications from his defense team that say exactly what their defense is, as opposed to, you know, a Good Morning America interview, which we all saw. So,
well, I'll tell you what, though, I felt like clearly if that gets to trial and they televise it, I found my new binge-worthy show. Jaren Hill, we'll see you in just a couple hours. We'll do a little cross-talk with you guys before I drop the subject. Get here safe. I know it might be raining outside. And thank you so much for
this
insight.
Thank you, Jared. We love you.
Of course. Love you guys.
All right, guys. Well, coming up in the next hour, why are women pretending to be men on Instagram?
What?
And then we've got our game, Real News, Fake News.
Honestly, though, with these headlines,
How do you even tell the difference?
Yeah. Our listeners probably know better than we do, but I love that game.
Play along with us. Stick around. We are the new Channel Q.
The Morning Beat with Jay Rodriguez and Michaela Gordon.
Welcome back to the day where you want to be near your radio.
Oh, gosh. I'm still very surprised, if that makes sense. Gordon Sondland came with receipts in the words of a real me. Came with the receipts, honey.
I mean, think about it.
And just took him out.
Private citizen who happens to be a big financial donor to the Republican Party. Then, you know, Trump appoints him to be, you know, gives him a position of some level of power with the European Union. And then he just basically has been somewhat, you know, on again, off again with Trump's bad behavior. He kind of stepped away a couple times. But then when Trump got reelected, getting his graces, gave him a 7-figure check for the inauguration and all that stuff. And here he is testifying with what I believe to be the Bible truth. And he's doing it clearly. And like you said, he's naming names. Mm-hmm. He's showing receipts, emails, all these things.
I'll say this, though. I talked to Daddy Lisa, and she has a good idea of what may happen.
I like Daddy Lisa's projection.
Yeah, she says, obviously, we're in the middle of the impeachment. She does think, though, that this won't kick him out of the throne. He'll finish this presidency. And what it'll do is just really smear his name for the reelection, which is sort of what we want. Because if for some reason President Trump did get taken out right now, that opens us up for Mike Pence. And that's not necessarily a better decision for us.
Remember when he said that he could shoot someone on Fifth Avenue and people would still support him?
Yeah.
I wonder if this is similar to that, if he's going to lose support today from people who have been on the fence.
I think he'll absolutely lose a lot of support.
Like in public, opinion.
I still think that people who love and believe in him will blame it on Gordon Sondland, will blame it on other people, will blame it on the Democrats for even inquiring so deeply into this impeachment. Yeah. But at the end of the day, hopefully it'll be more than 50%. And when it comes time for re-elections, Trump does not find his way back into that presidency.
Oof, crazy. Hey, it's Trans Day of Remembrance. It's actually been Trans Awareness Week all week long. We're super thrilled to be joined by Ashley Marie Preston later in the show. She's a fantastic activist for the trans community. I believe she's, I think partly responsible for making the trans conversation happen within the Democratic Party. She got Elizabeth Warren to really talk about trans messaging and why we should all be vigilant about supporting our trans brothers and sisters. She'll be in chatting with us. And by the way, on our website, we are ChannelQ.com. We do have some great interviews that we've done in the past with some of the pillars of the community, specifically the trans community, Our Lady J, Kim Petras, Gia Gunn, just to name a few. They're all on our website. We are ChannelQ.com. I encourage you to head on over to our website and give those a listen. Coming up this hour, why are women pretending to be men on Instagram? The answer is actually kind of legitimate. So you want to stick around for that. Then we're going to play our fun trivia game, Real News, Fake News, to see if Michaela and I can decipher what is a real news headline and what is just absolutely made up from the depths of our producer Justin's brain. Also, RuPaul's new series, the trailer is out. We've got it. We'll play it for you. And again, like I said, our final hour will be Ashley Marie Preston chatting with us about the importance of understanding Trans Remembrance Day. But till we get to all that, it is time for the news on the beat. So, Michaela, what are people talking about?
Well, California's largest utility on Wednesday is expected to shut off power for up to 750,000 people as high fire risk conditions return to the northern part of the state. Power outages could last from today until tomorrow evening, Pacific Gas and Electric said. affecting customers in 25 counties in the Sierra foothills and greater San Francisco Bay Area. Now, the move is part of a controversial effort by PG&E to prevent its equipment from sparking wildfires amid high winds and dry conditions. State officials have called on utilities to reduce the frequency and scale of the preemptive shutoffs. Now, in big news, we've been talking about it all morning. The opening statement from Gordon Sondland, U.S. ambassador to the European Union, is one of the two most damning documents in the Ukraine scandal so far. At the level of the summary of President Donald Trump's July 25th call with Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky, Sondland's testimony, which kicked off Wednesday's impeachment hearings, lays out a clear timeline of President Trump's attempts to pressure Ukraine into investigating former Vice President Joe Biden, and it leaves absolutely no doubt as to what was going on.
As I testified previously, Mr. Giuliani's requests were a quid pro quo for arranging a White House visit for President Zelensky. Mr. Giuliani demanded that Ukraine make the potential quid pro quo regarding the security aid with Senator Ron Johnson. And I also shared my concerns with the Ukrainians.
Now, Sondland's testimony also makes clear this was not some kind of rogue operation masterminded by Rudy Giuliani alone. He provides extensive documentation, including contemporary emails and text messages, showing that his own personal efforts in service of arranging the quid pro quo were authorized at the highest levels of the administration. On this point, Sondland does not mince his words, and we'll continue updating you with all of that impeachment information. Now, if you're celebrating a birthday, happy birthday. It's a good day to celebrate. Davey Havoc, lead singer of AFI and friend of Channel Q, is turning 44. Actress Ming Na Wen, the voice of Mulan, she is 56 years old today. Actress Sean Young is 59, and singer and guitarist of the Eagles, Joe Walsh, is 72 years old.
Welcome to the Hotel California.
It's also a very good day to celebrate because Mercury is out of retrograde, which means life is going back to normal. You are free of the chains that bind you, or you just can at least sign contracts so you can get a job. So congratulations, we made it through. Now coming up, why are women pretending to be men on Instagram? This will shock you, but I completely understand. Find out why coming up next.
The Morning Beat with Jay and Michaela. The new Channel Q.
This next story is just hard to wrap my brain around. So women are now pretending to be men on Instagram to avoid sexist censorship. So meaning the terms of Instagram, which obviously is the same company as Facebook, has bans on what you can and cannot show. Specifically, they seem kind of vague when you're looking for specifics. It's really, really bizarre to find out. So basically over the summer, pole dancers around the world noticed that the posts containing popular hashtags such as pole fitness, pole trick, and female fitness, those hashtags, but notably, by the way, not on the list was male fitness, but those specifically, the female fitness, pole tricks, all that, they all seem to be shadow banned on Instagram, like put on a weird timeout. Mm-hmm. At first, Instagram reportedly denied that this was happening. But after a petition addressed the matter went viral, the company said, well, yeah, we've been hiding pole dancers' content, and they apologized for doing so. And so women are now basically changing the gender to avoid being, you know, banned from Facebook. But interestingly enough, the actual language on it, on Facebook itself, which also applies to Instagram, says nudity or implied nudity cannot have excessive visible skin or cleavage, even if not explicitly sexual in nature, not allowed. Images focused on individual body parts such as abs, butt, chest, even if not explicitly sexual in nature, banned. Dating ads where the focus on the ad is a partially clothed model. Those are all what Facebook says, which I'm assuming applies to Instagram.
Here's what's interesting. As a woman, this has been going on for a couple of years now. It started the Free the Nipple movement, where women were saying, if men can put their nipples on Instagram, we should be able to. Also, all we have nipples for is to feed children. It's not supposed to be sexualized. But now, the bigger problem is I have girlfriends who are fitness instructors, and this is how they make money. Mm-hmm. This is their business. Also, pole dancing is a form of exercise. Yeah. You can now take your girlfriends and go to a pole class and burn the same amount of calories that you can do in a spin class.
Yeah.
And so women are promoting this. Also, girls like Dita Von Teese, who are burlesque dancers, this is their job. It's a form of dancing. It is not to be sexualized for people's gratification. The fact that they can't properly do their business and promote who they are is a problem. And so
some of the images they're using as references are not that bad. For instance, there's one of a woman lying in bed with sheets around her. That's banned.
Yeah, there's photos of women in a sports bra and workout pants, like standing upside down on a pole where it's clear that the only thing holding her up is her abs. Yeah. They're engaged. It's incredible. They're being banned.
Yeah.
And the thing is, it's unfortunate because a lot of shows, like in Vegas, there's absinthe, there's opium. They look at these as specialty acts. Mm. And a lot of times these big shows will sometimes just go on Instagram or go on YouTube to find their newest acts.
Yeah.
And they can't now do this or get hired. I know there's a fire breather who's incredible, and their whole shtick is,
you're so Vegas.
They do it. She's so Vegas.
I know a fire breather. Incredible.
This fire breather friend of mine does this really great act where they don't want their body being focused on, so they just sort of dress nude completely.
But you and I, even based on these rules, we would get pictures banned. Like, if you have no pictures of cleavage?
No, not really. If you go on my page, but not because I don't want them on there.
But like, for instance, you don't feel like you have a picture that's like just where you can see a little bit of your boobs from the top?
I don't know if recently.
Because I definitely do have pictures of my abs, you know, and they say that's banned.
So fascinating. I don't know. I think I have a photo of my like butt that's showing a little bit, but I have tights on and shorts.
Even the black and white picture, the beautiful nude picture that you did that doesn't show anything, that would be considered inappropriate. It's weird.
Yeah, it's just interesting how they're trying to police women's bodies, and I think it's nice that women are taking a stand.
You have a lot of gay boyfriends too, and you know how naked we are on there.
I have so many gay friends, but I feel like men don't get policed as much
as women.
And that's really what the problem is. Like, men can go in their Speedos and post a photo, but women go in a bikini or G-string.
Inappropriate.
And it's inappropriate. It's totally deemed inappropriate. So I think it's fabulous that these women are saying that they're male. And if you ask them, and this is actually true for some of my girlfriends, for some of my friends, they are non-binary. Mm. So they can say that they are of male.
Yeah, it's fascinating to me, and I don't even know the solution, because it seems like, you know, this is one of the places that everyone's using to connect, to, like you said, promote their business. It's, for many people, their window into the livelihood of their career. It's a way for people to see what their work is before they're hired. I even know that I was in a casting recently, and the casting woman was like, "This is Jay. I love following him on Instagram, except for the crotch shots." And I was like, "Crotch shots? When do I ever take a?" But in her mind, a picture of me was too sexually suggestive because I was in a Speedo.
Yeah. Well, here's what they're saying. Social media giants, including Instagram, have a monopoly over our data and online interactions. Freedom of expression is at stake here. Users really don't have a voice. And I think that's the biggest thing that's important, is the freedom of expression.
Do you think that they should make it more like Twitter, for instance, where you click on it to prove you're 18 and over, and then you're allowed to view at the adult content on Twitter?
Absolutely.
Because then it's like, well, then you have there's a lock thing. You know what I mean? Like, there's some accountability. But it seems like there's no rhyme or reason as to who gets away with posting what.
Yeah, well, and they're just acting ridiculous. I mean, clearly a woman on a pole in fitness clothes isn't selling her sexuality, but also, even if she was, you can't tell her she can't. It's not your business.
Yeah.
Put the 18 and up ban, and that would be worth it. But I'm glad that these women are kind of going around it and noting that if they put that they're male.
Would you have thought this was a fake news story or a real news story?
Oh, real.
Yeah.
Real.
I would have said it was fake, and then now I'm like, now having read it and discovered it, I'm like, oh, it's totally real. But that's going to be the question for our next segment when we play Real News, Fake News. That's next.
The Morning Beat with Jay Rodriguez and Michaela Gordon.
Fake news.
Fake news.
You are fake news.
We are not going to let the fake news tell us what to do.
Very fake news. You know, you're dishonest people.
Well, it's time for another rousing round of fake news or real news. As per usual, we are totally in the dark, and this is when we hand it over to our producer, Justin.
Hello. So, we compile a bunch of news stories throughout the week, and we always have way too many, but they're always so crazy with the headlines. So, I have compiled this game for you guys, real news, fake news. If you guys hear if you guys believe a real news headline, you'll hear this sound.
And that's the way it is.
If it's a fake news headline, you'll hear this sound.
You are fake news.
Got it.
Best of three wins. Michaela Gordon, you will go first because Jay went first last time. It's not a sexist thing. I don't appreciate that, sir. Here we go. Michaela, Walking Dead star Norman Reedus recalls one time he ate human flesh. Real news or fake news?
Real news.
You are fake news.
It was a fake news headline. You are wrong.
Ew. Jeez.
He doesn't eat his cuticles? Liar.
I
always think
Rodriguez.
See, I pleased you.
That was so good. You really pleased me. Oh my God, I'm a cannibalist.
Yeah.
Jay, you can take the early lead with this. Uno removes red and blue cards to keep Thanksgiving, quote, politics free. Is that a real news headline or a fake news headline?
That's a fake news headline.
And that's the way it is.
That's a real news headline.
They really did that?
My God.
They really did that.
Uno took out red and blue cards. That's ridiculous.
That's so dumb.
Would that get you into a fight playing Uno?
Yeah. I mean, it wouldn't get me into a fight. It would get me into a fight with Uno, the fact that they have no backbone. Keep the red and blue.
Michaela, porn site offers families $250 to live stream their Thanksgiving. Real news or fake news?
She's going to watch it if it's real. So.
No, I'm signing me and Lisa up if it's real. I need that $250. It's Christmas, honey. I'm going to say real.
And that's the way it is.
Yeah.
That is a real news headline.
Oh, no. What is that? I need more to this story.
You're going
to
watch it?
So there's a porn website that's offering $250 to live stream families having Thanksgiving for what reason?
Just
you want to have a family get together, even if you're not there.
Mm-hmm. And the porno wants to do that.
They want to just be from there where they have videos of people having sex. They also want to have a video of live Thanksgiving dinners.
You know, talk about intimacy. That is sweet. Comes
Jay,
in all forms.
Yes.
Fort Lauderdale drag queen Pure L brings campaign of clean to Florida coast. Real news or fake news?
Her name is Pure L.
Yeah, Pure L.
Uh-huh. And she's bringing like a cleaning message to the coast.
Campaign of clean to Florida.
You know
coast.
What this is, Jay.
I mean, but it could be so real. I'm going to go ahead and say this is fake news.
You are fake news.
Tied it up 1-1. That was totally fake. I totally
was
going to
say that was a drag queen. Okay. Good.
Michaela.
If you guys are just tuning in, we just want to let the listeners know we are playing a game of real news, fake news. Justin, our producer, is running the show. Go ahead, Justin.
Michaela, your third news headline for the week. Dickfest, a Christmastime Charles Dickens festival, named Dickfest, returns to rural England town.
Honestly, yes.
If it doesn't exist, it needs to.
Absolutely. Bring on the dick.
And that's the way it is.
That is a real news headline.
Go, you're going to Dickfest this year.
Also, happy birthday, Dick Cavett. It was his birthday yesterday. And we wanted to remind him happy birthday.
It's 2-1. Jay, you need this to tie it up.
You got it.
Send it into overtime. 120-year-old photo sparks Greta Thunberg conspiracy theories.
That's real news. I saw it.
And that's the way it is.
That's the link that's in your doc.
Oh, fantastic.
Just in case you didn't see it.
No, I saw it. So did I win? What do I get? A pony? Oh, no. Like sudden death.
All right. Well, if you're just tuning in, this is the final round of real news, fake news. We're guessing if the headlines are real or not.
Do you know what's funny about this?
Tied it up.
Close your eyes for a moment.
Okay.
This music, I could say anything. I mean, we're on radio. At this moment, Michaela is on a diving board. Below her, 90 feet, are four great whites. They haven't eaten in weeks. If she gets this wrong, she must dive in and to the bottom of the pool.
I'm so nervous.
Get the necklace that the old lady threw into the ocean at the end of the movie.
How much time again?
You only have 10 seconds to answer this next question.
God, okay.
Your voice is your buzzer.
Uh-huh.
Final question for real news, fake news. Court order allows French ducks to keep quacking for now.
Oh, God, those great whites are looking real sharp right now. But grandmother needs her necklace. I'm going to go with real news.
You're going real news, Michaela.
Final answer.
And that's the way it is.
Yay! You win! Bye-bye, great shark. Suck it. Thank God.
All she needed was a little inspiration.
Sent out a tweet to Chrissy Teigen and Ellen DeGeneres and said, hi, our mom, we don't have our family coming to our wedding, but we need somebody to walk us down the aisle and to do a father-daughter dance with us.
Yeah.
Please come to our wedding. We love you. So everyone said, that is so cute.
Adorbs.
Well, of course, Ellen followed through. She invited them to the show.
Oh.
And they're sitting. They had no idea that they were going to be
guests.
So
they're thinking, okay, we're like viral famous. We're just going to get free tickets to Ellen. That's cute.
So they get the free tickets. No. She brings him on stage and she says, listen, she gives them a Roku saw your TV. Tweet. Yeah, a Roku. She says, I saw your tweet and I just want to let you know I can't come to the wedding, but I want you to know that I love you. We here love you and same love. Love wins. And then all of a sudden she goes, but I do have a present for you. And it's the families, it's the couples, like brothers and sisters and friends.
Oh,
and they come running out.
No.
But now we have audio because the fiance that proposed to the other fiance was so happy, but the other fiance had something to tell the other fiance.
So the person who was asked, so the recipient of the asking,
the
right?
The girlfriend that asked her girlfriend.
It's hard to describe.
It's hard to describe.
The person that got down on one knee.
Yes.
Yeah, already proposed.
Yes.
And then on this program,
they
switched
it. But the one that took the ring said, but I got a present for you.
Got it.
Family and friends that we surprised you with.
Yeah.
And so, Sarah, do you want to say, tell her why everybody's here?
Yeah. So, I mean, I know you already proposed to me, but of course, you know, I had to get my piece in there because you deserve it. And there's no better way to do it than in front of our chosen family and, of course, our biggest role model.
Oh, my God.
And the way that you feel today is the way you make me feel every day. And I can't wait to spend my life feeling that way. So.
I love you so much.
Will you be my wife?
So sweet. And it was so interesting because I started following them on Instagram and they broke up shortly after.
Oh my God. That's such a Jay joke. I love it.
I know. I had to give it to you. All right. Well, speaking of jokes.
Wait a minute. How do you feel about public proposals like that? I can't remember. Do you like
that? I'm telling you that going into 2020, if you don't sit down, Daddy Lisa, and figure it out.
Lisa, we got to figure this out. Because now the lesbians are going on Ellen to do it.
They're going on Ellen. I swear to God, my birthday is January 14th. You better figure it out. And that's all I'm saying about that.
I'll take her to Swarovski Crystal and get something realistic looking.
Yeah, perfect. All right. Well, another news. Hold on to your wigs, honey, because RuPaul is coming to Netflix. AJ and the Queen coming January 10th. 2020 will be on the popular streaming platform, and it's a comedy that has multiple episodes.
I actually went in for it to play her boyfriend.
Oh, you did?
I didn't get it.
But
Matthew Wilcox, who's been on Channel Q before, he was in the Little Shop of Horrors with MJ. He's in it as well.
I love good that. Well, let's take a listen to the trailer, and then I'll give you some tea.
Please give it up for the legendary Men Ruby.
So yeah, Matthew Wilcox and of course RuPaul's in this, and it's brought to you by the same creator as Sex and the City.
That's right. Okay, but this is some tea you shared with me. So there is, in AJ and the Queen, her name is Ruby Red, and she was going to buy a bar. Unfortunately, it falls through, and then she has to travel the country, and we just learn about this queen doing things.
Yeah.
There is a queen, a real drag queen, Ruby Red.
In San Francisco.
And she's saying, hold up, honey, hold on to that wig because you're stealing my shtick. So I invite Ruby Red to come on Channel Q.
I was just texting with her. She's listening right now, yeah.
Yes. Well, we want her to come on, honey, because I don't like that. Listen, I've known a few times where bigger celebrities go.
Try to get Michaela Gordon as a name?
Well, I'm not that great, but other people, I wish people wanted to steal me. But listen, at 1550 and 97.3 HD2, to our San Francisco listeners, you better show a lot of love to Ruby Red, honey, because
Ruby
if that
Red
story
Monroe,
is true, we're not playing with that.
Yeah, you know, it's so hard. I would think the creators, Michael Patrick King, that's his name. You know, I wonder if they didn't do any research. You know, look up the name, Ruby Red,
research.
Drag queen, already exists. She's a massive star in San Francisco and beyond. I adore her. her, a good friend of mine. So
you're not a huge queen in San Francisco and people don't know about you.
Yeah.
You're doing your research.
Come on, Mama Ru.
Not cool.
Just send her a little check.
All right, you guys. Well, listen, it is Trans Awareness Day and we want to make sure that we are celebrating our trans brothers and sisters.
And remembering
which,
all those we lost.
Absolutely.
Which is, the numbers are crazy.
Crazy. It was crazy what you were telling me. 311 this year, but we're going to go in deep because we've got activist and advocate Ashley Marie Preston joining us in this next hour. So stick around. We are the new Channel Q.
The Morning Beat with Jay Rodriguez and Michaela Gordon.
Well, it's Transgender Day of Remembrance. Remember the lives that have been lost. Oddly and sadly, the numbers are going up exponentially around the world from about where we are now to where we were last year. 311 trans people murdered thus far on this Transgender Day of Remembrance. This year alone, it's shocking. So Ashley Marie Preston will be joining us. She is a trans activist and really has her finger on the pulse of all things when it comes to our community, even just from the political aspect of it all, telling us how we can be better allies, but more importantly, what specifically we're still fighting for, whether it's more respect at the TSA when you go to fly and you happen to be trans, or bathrooms or locker rooms, just going over
that
all the things we need to know.
TSA is one of the biggest things going
it's
right
hard,
now,
because yeah.
It's hard for, I think for even cis men and women, it gets invasive. I know even some of my friends have been like, you need to pull back. But then imagine being a trans woman or trans man and they're all up in it.
Yeah.
That's a big conversation to
100%.
Have.
100%. Hey, so what you got going on this week? It's almost the weekend. We're halfway through the week.
Honestly, it's going to be a crazy weekend. I'm shooting some promo for the CW tomorrow.
Fantastic.
Very excited for the Christmas show coming out. And then Saturday, I'm going to see Todrick's in town. So he invited me to go see his final concert.
Cute.
And then Sunday.
The house party?
It's Halls. It's actually Halls.
Right.
House. How?
Are you performming in it?
No.
Oh, well,
I'm just
know.
Going. No,
if he
I
brings
can't.
You up and he's like, sing You Lift Me Up by Josh Groban.
Don't do this.
And then you start.
Have you ever, okay, this is a good question. Have you ever been brought on stage?
Mm-hmm.
You were just at a show.
Yes.
And then they were like, Jay, come on up here. And then gave you something that you were so not prepared to sing. Maybe you were too drunk. Maybe you were too tired. Maybe you...
Marty Cummings Gould, who we know because he's running for city council in New York, the drag queen that's running. I went to see his show with Kelly King, who I showed you the video of yesterday, singing the whisper notes and everything. Fantastic cabaret show in the middle of Manhattan at this beautiful theater. And I had just flown. I drank on my flight. It's now 12:30 at night. And they're like, Jay Rodriguez is here. Broadway's all like, go give the DJ your track. Girl, I had no voice. All the theater people, you know, the judgy, like all the young millennials were there. And here comes me trying to bust out a croak-a-toot note. Not great to be put on the spot.
Same. David Hernandez, 2 years ago, asked me to host an event. He said, all I have to do is host. That's it. I get done hosting. Now I'm drinking. I'm 2 vodka sodas in, which does not take much. And he goes, no, come on up here and sing. And I was like,
uh-uh.
No. And he was like, come on up here and sing.
Too late. Put on
all
blast.
All of our American Idol friends, all of our singers, everybody
what'd
that
you
you've
sing?
Ever known. It was Lean On Me, which also...
That song should be called Throw Me Under the Bus.
It's called...
Jeez.
Lent On Nobody. Ruin that song, honey.
Well, Marty Gould Cummings, I love that you brought me up on stage, put me out of my comfort zone, and good thing for you doing all this political stuff. We love it. Hey, it is time for that news on the beat, but don't forget, keep it locked here because we have Ashley Marie Preston coming up next. But till then, Michaela, what are people talking about?
Well, the opening statement from Gordon Sondland, U.S. Ambassador to the European Union, is one of the two most damning documents in the Ukraine scandal so far, at the level of the summary of President Donald Trump's July 25th call with Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky. Now, Sondland's testimony, which kicked off Wednesday's impeachment hearings, lays out a clear timeline of President Trump's attempts to pressure Ukraine into investigating former Vice President Joe Biden, and it leaves absolutely no doubt as to what was going on.
Was there a quid pro quo? As I testified previously, with regard to the requested White House call and the White House meeting, the answer is yes. Mr. Giuliani conveyed to Secretary Perry, Ambassador Volker, and others that President Trump wanted a public statement from President Zelensky committing to investigations of Burisma and the 2016 election. Mr. Giuliani expressed those requests directly to the Ukrainians, and Mr. Giuliani also expressed those requests directly to us.
Now, Sondland's testimony also makes clear this was not some kind of rogue operation masterminded by Rudy Giuliani alone. He provides extensive documentation, including contemporary emails and text messages, showing that his own personal efforts in service of arranging the quid pro quo were authorized at the highest levels of the administration. All right, well, we're very excited to invite Ashley Marie Preston on coming up next, because today marks Transgender Day of Remembrance, a day honoring transgender victims of violence. Now, while 2019 was a year of greater acceptance, transgender rights made it into platforms of the Democratic presidential candidates. It's also a year in which at least 22 transgender or gender nonconforming people have died by violence. There is a mix of incredible opportunities and advancement, and also increased regression and hostility, said Anike Mushevic, executive director of the Movement Advancement Project, a think tank that researches LGBTQ issues. And we are very excited to have Ashley Marie Preston on coming up next. Now, if you're celebrating a birthday, happy birthday. You're in great company. You're celebrating with Mike D of the Beastie Boys. He's 53 years old. Guitarist Michael Clifford from 5 Seconds of Summer. He's 24 years old. Is it easier to stay? Is it easier to go? And Joel McHale from The Soup and Community celebrates his 48th birthday. So happy, happy birthday. If you're celebrating a birthday, also good news. Mercury is out of retrograde. So go on, live your lives, sign the contracts, buy the cars, marry whoever you want, because you're good to go. Spend the money, honey. Now coming up, Ashley Marie Preston joins us for Trans Remembrance Day as we acknowledge the 311 trans brothers and sisters we have lost this year and in the world, and what we need to do to continue bringing visibility to our brothers and sisters. Stick around. We are the new Channel Q.
The Morning Beat with Jay Rodriguez and Michaela Gordon.
For many of you who've been listening to this program all morning long, you know that today is Transgender Day of Remembrance, and we couldn't imagine a better guest to speak to this than the woman who's really paving the way and educating an entire nation, if not the world, about trans rights and a trans community. That is Ashley Marie Preston. I know you know that name and you know that face. She's live in studio with us now. Welcome back to The Morning Beat, Ashley.
Thank
we
you
reference
for having
you so
me.
Often. your advocacy is above and beyond. I mean, you're really in the trans in terms of not just fighting for your community, but uplifting them as well. So for some folks who may not know the difference, it is Trans Awareness Week, and that is the end of it, and it ends with Trans Remembrance Day. So for those in case they've never heard that before, what is Trans Remembrance Day?
Well, it's really interesting. A lot of us are reframing the conversation, and instead of looking at it as a trans day of remembrance, we're looking at it as a trans day of resilience. It makes it more expansive so that we not only have the opportunity to remember the lives that were lost, mm-hmm. but we get to actually celebrate the work, courage, bravery, and resilience of the people who are still living.
Yeah. I think that's so important, because I think here on the show, we're so, Michaela specifically is always referencing the number of black trans women that have been murdered here in the U.S. mm-hmm. alone,
yes.
and how there doesn't seem to be a lot of movement about getting any kind of legislation in place that would protect trans women, you know?
But a lot of that has to do with the fact that our murders go viral, but the call to action is not going viral. And so what happens is that people typically tend to consume, I guess you could call it this trauma porn around our murders, and there seems to be this this romanticized idea of what the trans plight looks like. Mm-hmm. And so you see people on one end who like to demonize us by saying that maybe we died because we were tricking people, or maybe we shouldn't have been involved in sex work and all of these other things. So instead of looking at the circumstances that placed us in front of the barrel of the gun, mm-hmm. people are looking at how we're dying. And so on one end, we have people that are leaning into martyrdom and like, oh, that's just so terrible. That's so sad. That's tragic. They were killed. And then on the other end, we're being demonized. And somewhere in the middle lies our actual humanity.
Now, if you're just tuning in, we're with Ashley Marie Preston. Like we did say, I believe we're at 23 trans women who have died this year alone in the U.S.
I think it's 31, isn't it?
Is it 31?
31. I know it's like 22, 23 that we know of.
It's 23 that we know of.
Oh, sorry. From last year's Day of Remembrance to this year's Day of Remembrance, it's 31. Sorry, I stand corrected.
Yeah. So this year alone, it's been 23, I believe. 22 of those women have been Black trans women. My question is, it's interesting because I care about, as we all do, our white trans brothers and sisters. But why is it that our Black sisters are getting so much more abuse and so much more attack? What is it with that?
A lot of it has to do, I'm always talking about intersectionality, and for those who aren't really hip to the Twitter buzzword, it describes multiple threats of discrimination when an individual's identity overlaps with multiple marginalized groups. Mm-hmm. So essentially, for our white LGBTQ members, they... We're not saying that they don't deal with problems and discrimination.
Listen, I'll say it for you. As a lesbian, I can pass as white and I can pass as straight. And so there's a lot of intersectionality there. And
right. But what I mean specifically is you have problems, but your race isn't one of the determinants to you receiving.
Right, there's privilege.
Right. And so that's really like what happens. And so being Black, being a woman, more specifically not conforming to cis heteronormativity, you know, all of those things are factors that make us exponentially prone to violence.
Right. When we talk about the big key issues, and now we're looking at a new president possibly for 2020, what would you like to see the leaders of this free world try to and actually implicate that would really help in terms of legislation trans people?
Put your money where your mouth is.
Yes.
We put money in everything else. We're so terrible about this that Trump is trying to ban trans people from the military because we just don't have the money for all of these things. You have money for Viagra.
Right.
You have money for all of these for the marching band. That's actually like a crazy budget for that. Mm-hmm. There is all of these other investments that are being made except for the trans community more specifically. And we even see this within the LGBTQ community with 501c3s and nonprofits. We are the last ones to benefit. Ooh. From any
it was our camera. Don't worry, everyone's alive.
For any of the things that are being poured into our community, so we get pulled out of the bottom drawer when it's time to raise money,
right?
But then when it's actually about showing up for us, giving us jobs, giving us housing, giving us economic opportunities, helping us stay out of prison and jails, making sure that we have health care, making sure that we're not turning to the Black market to be able to get our health needs met. Yeah. There's just so many factors.
Let's talk about specific. I want to talk about, and Michaela, you have a question too.
Yeah. Well,
I was going to talk about the housing, what you just skirted over. The housing thing is a big thing, and employment.
Mm-hmm.
People are having a difficult time if they are trans or gender nonconforming getting jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And then people wonder why so many trans folks are perhaps homeless or resorting to sex work. Can you speak to that? Because I think people think in their minds, well, why can't they just go out and get a job?
Well, my story actually is interesting in that was where my struggle began. I had a job. I transitioned on the job and I experienced a bunch of bullying and harassment. And instead of my job protecting me and HR doing what they're there to do, they looked for a reason to fire me. And so I lost my housing. I ended up on the streets of Hollywood and I had to engage in survival sex work as a means of meeting my basic needs. Everything that I had to do in the name of survival was so gut-wrenching that I ended up turning to methamphetamine and other drugs as a social lubricant to help me navigate that. So you can quickly see how something as simple as access to a job and having that barrier spirals out of control. But unlike many of the other girls, like, I'm HIV negative. I don't have a criminal record, so I haven't been incarcerated. Mm-hmm. And so I don't take it lightly that now I'm in these spaces with influential people and people who make decisions, because it's important for us to speak up about these things and recognize that it's not going to change until we change it from the inside. Yeah. And it's the system, and it's basically making sure that we have protections for trans people just like everyone else.
Now, if you're just tuning in, we're with Ashley Marie Preston. I want to talk about putting your money where your mouth is and being around these influential people, because being an activist, being an advocate is not easy work. You have to be very brave. You have to be willing to take it from all ends, particularly on social media, which gets very toxic at times. But you really made it a point to take a lot of time when it came to our presidential elections, who you wanted to see maybe move forward. You took a lot of time, and it was Elizabeth Warren that you ended up settling on.
Yes.
Not settling, that you really back. Talk about why Elizabeth Warren was the decision that you wanted to make.
Because Elizabeth Warren is not afraid to speak to the dark, egregious past that we have in America. The truth is that we can't heal what we don't reveal. And so you need to be able to talk about racism, not just the social aspect of it, but institutional racism. You need to be able to talk about, more specifically, Black women. You have to talk about undocumented people. You have to talk about immigrants in general. You have to talk about all of these different topics that make people uncomfortable, especially people who benefit the most, who stand to benefit from these systems of oppression. And Elizabeth Warren not only does that, but she's also not afraid to say and do the thing that needs to be done in order for us to move forward. It's one thing to say, let us go back to business as usual, the old America, the good old days. Those days were never good for many of us.
I say that all the time. I'm like, when was it great? America wasn't great. It's still not great. We need to make equal protections for everyone who lives here and is an American citizen. Ashley, we pressed never enough time with you. Yeah. Thank you so much for coming on with us here in the Morning Beat.
Really quick, fast though, too. I think the thing that I love about her the most, and I need to say this where everybody can hear me, she's not taking cheap shots at other candidates. Mm. We need to be very careful in this election, because what I've been seeing is this circular firing squad happening, and we're self-cannibalizing. Right. And it doesn't matter who wins the primary. We all need to come together to support that person, because the only way we're going to win is if we do so on a unified front.
Not only activist and advocate, actress, producer, and model, honey, because you're looking very good in New York and company photos, baby.
Shout out to Gabrielle Union. I think one thing I love about Gabrielle Union the most, she's such an amazing person who does so much work behind the scenes. But I think when we talk about trans visibility, what are we making visible? I think many times we promote the violence, or we broadcast that, mm-hmm. but it's important to put our joy on display. It's important to put our aspirations on display. It is important to put our strength on display. And the fact that every single day we are continuing to build community and connection in a way that really embeds us in our society, we have a lot to contribute.
100%. Ashley Mae Preston, we love you so much. Thank you for spending a little bit of your morning with us. I know you have a very busy day today. We'll make sure to post a picture and make sure you give her a follow on social media so you can keep track of everything she is going on. Coming up next, we're going to be joined by Allie and Jarrett from Drop the Subject. They've got some tea they want to spill on air with us, and we are willing to drink it. So keep it here on the new Channel Q. Welcome back to The Morning Beat. Oh, what a great discussion with Ashley Mae Preston. Now we're joined by Allie and Jarrett from Drop the Subject, which is coming up next. You don't want to go anywhere. Thank you so much, Jarrett, for calling in this morning, giving us the tea about the Jussie Smollett lawsuit. So in case you weren't with us then, Jarrett, catch us up for the folks who aren't aware of the new Jussie Smollett news.
Yeah, so late last night, Jussie Smollett's defense team filed a lawsuit basically against the city of Chicago, the Chicago Police Department, the Asundara brothers, who were the two that were alleged to be involved in the attack on him. And they make some pretty explosive claims. I mean, they say that the Chicago Police Department had information corroborating his story that they didn't release to the public. They say that the Asundara brothers attorney, sorry, I was literally running up the stairs trying to get here in time. They say that the Asundara brothers attorney, Gloria Schmidt, basically orchestrated their admission that they were a part of this plea deal. And they were being held for 48 hours, because after 48 hours, you either have to charge a person with a crime or let them go. And in the 47th hour, they made this admission.
That's what I always thought, that they were pressured because it was the last final moment.
Yeah. And so she has even said, like, in public interviews, like on television and radio, like, that she, you know, well, we pieced together everything that happened, but they claim in the suit that she orchestrated their admission so that they could get off, basically, because saying that this was part of an orchestration would get them off. It would comport with the police narrative that had been out. They talk about the Chicago Police Department leaking all kinds of information throughout the course of the days following when this came out, which was a big story for a lot of us.
Yeah,
back when
the
it was
world.
Happening. It was like, why is all this information coming out of the police department? And so it was kind of like building this narrative. So there's a lot of stuff. It's a 50-page document that I was up all night like reading and annotating and highlighting and falling asleep and waking up and like doing the same thing because I didn't realize it was coming so late last night.
It's interesting because I felt like from the very beginning I thought he was lying, and I still continue to do so. It's my opinion only, solely. There still hasn't been enough evidence. My father thinks the complete opposite. He thinks he's telling the truth still, and that the Chicago PD department is totally wrong and has been for a very long time. After reading these documents, do you feel like he has a case?
I'm a very opinionated person. I don't know. I have an opinion on this one anymore. I feel like it's so hard to say what happened or what didn't happen. I've openly said, like, I've known Jesse for a number of years. We're not close by any stretch of the imagination, but we know each other. We've communicated, you know, multiple times in many years. And I've interviewed him for Essence when his album came out. Like, we're very familiar, I would say. But I don't know. I really don't know.
We're going to leave it there. Make sure you listen to Drop the Subject. Ali, you guys have a whole big show today, right?
Yeah, well, we have a lot of different things to get to. Of course, we continue our 12 days of Thanksgiving. We also have Char Giselle joining us later on the show. Today's Trans Day of Remembrance. Mm-hmm. So, of course, we're going to be covering that. All kinds of impeachment stuff.
The Grammy nominations came out today.
Yep, and our producer, Emmy.
You guys don't talk about me while I'm in the room. Yeah.
Okay. So awkward.
Snubbed.
I'm so sorry.
Talk about
exactly.
Snubbed.
All right, well, that's it for us here. Make sure you keep it locked at Ali and Jared are coming up next with Drop the Subject.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.